It is time for This Week in the Lakeville Journal. And, of course, we are joined in our center studio. Cynthia and Anne are in. Good morning. Are you guys warm enough in there?
No.
I'd say not. It's not possible.
Now, Anne, you've got to get closer to the microphone.
No.
Okay, that's
Can you
better.
Hear me?
It'll be better. Good. That's good, Cynthia. Cynthia has frostbite in her fingers, but her last act, thank goodness, was to move Anne's mic. Anne, speak to us.
Hello.
That's so much.
Perfect.
What a wonderful
what
world
a
it
voice.
Really is.
Okay. And let's bring in Janet Manco. Good morning, Janet.
Good morning.
How are you?
Good.
Well, are you warm enough?
Yeah.
She's probably the only warm one.
Yeah, I think that's true. And I'm so sorry to hear this, you know, and this does happen. And this is when we realize these things happen. A lot of people deal with this.
Well, the whole thing was we switched from oil to propane and that nobody managed to switch the delivery date for propane.
And that is the classic thing that, you know, that's what happens.
All right. It is.
That last little step.
All right. Well, not yet. In an hour, they'll get here.
Oh.
That's right. So,
we're sending back half your staff frozen, half frozen.
That's right.
Oh, gosh.
Warm up the building back at the Lakeville Journal. All right. So let's get right to the front page. Happy New Year is on the front page because, of course, this is the final issue for
this year. That's right. So there's no issue on the 28th. And, it seems to be an annual tradition that people ask on the 28th, where's the new Lakeville Journal?
That's right.
But,
or we have some people who buy it again,
which
and then
great.
Say, boy, this seems familiar.
That's
I don't
right.
know. But it is a double issue. We have the dates on there for the 21st and the 28th, and it gives our staff the chance to take a week, you know, more or less. Everybody sort of does some work over that week, but it's a break everybody can use at the end of the year.
Absolutely. All right. And we will go right to the top of the page, and that is a story by Shaw, which we talked about on the air here last week.
And I have to apologize to the entire town of Winsted and anybody that's ever gone to Northwestern Connecticut Community College, because on deadline we changed the headline and I made it NECC, and of course it's NCCC. So sorry about that, everybody.
Correct in the story.
Well, I didn't even notice it because that's
good.
one of those mind games, you know. They,
yeah,
when
it
you
is.
Know
that's
when
right.
you when you know the story, it's just NWCC, Northwestern
right.
Community
right.
College.
It could, either one would have been fine.
That's right.
Yeah.
So anyway, this is another I call it thumbing down with a state where things get more and more centralized, and it seems they never get less expensive; they always get more expensive. But
yeah, but you know, Shaw had a really good conversation with Michael Rook, who's the president of NCC, very extensive, went into great detail, and I'd say he's very upbeat about it, and let's hope that that his optimistic expectations play out. So what's happening now is the college, our lovely little community college in Winsted, is going to join a statewide system, and he's seeing lots of efficiencies. And, you know, we do see that occasionally in the regionalization of hospitals, for example. So we'll hope that it works out. It's still disappointing to people here that the UConn-Torrington branch closed down. So,
well, that's the scary thing about it. You know, when you think about centralized system, you think, well, okay, times are a little tough, so it's closed down the UConn-Torrington branch.
Yeah.
And then you think maybe 5 years down the road, well, times are a little tough. You know, it's closed down the north. You know, it's yeah. That's the scary thing that's always in your back of your mind.
Yeah, but they're quite strong, and people come from all over this region to go there, and it really helps people to save money, you know, and get a good college education. They have the nursing program. They have so much going for them. So let's hope.
All right.
This is good.
All right. Well, I want to go right down below that, Cynthia, because you've got a picture of Christian Allen. Cut your ash trees now.
Christian Allen, a fan favorite at the Lakeville Journal, who was at our office for the open house that we had. And he said, you know what would be great? We should do a story on ash trees, because for years there have been those little purple fabric boxes up in the trees, and people haven't been sure what they were. They were to collect emerald ash borers, which is an invasive insect. And they've moved into Connecticut now. And so basically Christian's saying, whether or not you have them, you need to cut your ash trees down now. And once all of the ash trees are cut down and we've contained the emerald ash borer, then we'll replant and we'll start a new population of ash trees. But so read that article for details.
I think ash is kind of a useless wood anyways. It's not really good for burning, I hear.
You can make a floor out of it, I guess, right?
Yeah.
I don't know what you can do with it.
An ash borer floor.
Yeah.
Ooh, no.
Yeah, bring it in your house, see what happens.
All right. I love the picture of holiday music.
We had a lot of holiday concerts in this issue, and we were lucky to have Lance Christensen Our fantastically talented photographer down in Kent popped over to one of the rehearsals, and we always feel like the best photos you get at a concert are at the rehearsal because you can get right up, as he did with this young lady, and we have a page full of photos inside.
All right, it came from the sky.
That was Shaw's headline. I thought that was very funny. Len Stewart, the wonderful Len Stewart from Salisbury, had called and said, you know, I was out picking up my mail, and I heard a buzzing over my head and looked up, and there was a drone. And a lot of people have been complaining about drones lately, especially people on Lake Wenanskapomik, which is Lakeville Lake, because they've been taking photos as part of that ZBA hearing that's been going on about the property, which actually was resolved on Tuesday night. And the story on that will be in next week's, in the January 4th issue. But so Shaw, who's a very interesting person and has an interest in lots of interesting, quirky things, volunteered to do a story on what the state's laws actually are on drones. And it seems that there really aren't any laws. So he got kind of a runaround and did a sort of a funny George Plimpton-esque story about his efforts to find out what the regulations are.
There are national laws, though, not to fly drones.
Yeah. They sort of, he basically ended up with them saying, I don't know, call the FAA. And, yeah. And of course, he didn't really get anything from them.
But what the bad thing about drones is that everybody went out, they're so inexpensive. So many people went out and got them. I know people to this day, for the past 2 years, I know at least five or six people that the first day they had their drone, it wound up in an 80 or 90 foot tree, and there it sits.
Yeah.
You know, people really don't know how to fly them, especially out here where there's just so many obstacles.
They were selling drones at the gas station in Lakeville this morning, and I thought, this is going to be the new Christmas story. It's, instead of the BB gun, it's going to be, I want a drone. It's going to take your eye out.
That's right. You're not kidding. It's going to take a couple of fingers off, too.
Yeah.
All right, we'll move on here. And interesting story, History Notebook, Bernie Drew, Mrs. A.M. Dodge, anti-suffragist.
Sort of an interesting, just a profile. There's no particular timeliness, which, of course, is one of the wonderful things about our Nature's Notebook and our History Notebook, is just a woman who lived up here and was an active suffragist, and he just gives a little portrait of her. And I learned that in addition to all the many other things the Hotchkiss family did, they invented a car.
All right, and this is it. Patrick Sullivan, Small Towns Could Be Helped. Ask Fun Torrington. Yeah. Ask Fun Torrington.
Right. Patrick went to the COG meeting, which is the 21 first selectmen from area towns, and they were hopping mad because the state has come in and said, all you rich towns like Salisbury and Sharon, Torrington needs some help, and you're going to have to step up and help them. And all the small towns, of course, said, hey, we've lost a lot of our state funding. We're barely making our budgets right now. Our townspeople are suffering as we're raising our taxes, and you want us to help fund Torrington right now? So I think that's an ongoing conversation.
That's the worry you get whenever you get things that join in statewide organizations.
Yeah.
They look out here and they say, oh, they're rich. They can funnel it down to here.
Yeah.
And it's just not that way.
You know, the continuation of this Ted Dobson story, this is part two of his story, that, and in a sense that relates to this idea of the funding, which is, you know, this young lady died, and Ted, the father, is continuing on this quest to try and find justice and to get a sense of closure. And so he's suing the state of Connecticut and the Monroe Police Department. And essentially what his response has been from the state has been, oops, you know, we're sorry, we should have had more oversight over that, and we didn't. And Ted kind of said, you know, I feel like Connecticut is this very wealthy state, and how do you guys not have the best state agencies possible? And I'd say, you know, actually Connecticut's really struggling. There really isn't as much wealth in the state, and especially in the way that the state government is run, as people seem to think.
All right. I want to move on to page A2. Once again, remind people, through Saturday, every day at Housatonic Valley Regional High School, they're selling the trees, the poinsettias, the roping.
The cabbage cheese. It's very adorable. And Patrick went and took a photo of these two young men dressed up as Santa Claus and one of his elf, who are out helping people load trees onto their cars. And it's just, the kids are really funny and lovely. And the cabbage cheese is made from milk collected at our local dairies. And, yeah, there's lots of beautiful plants there.
And not only does it help offset the budget of the FFA, but at the end of the year, they also donate to area food banks.
They do. Pantries.
It really is a great cause. And it gives the students the chance to not only learn about the trees, grow the trees, make everything, but also the finances of operating the draw, operating the store. It is an unbelievable situation. It was that way when I was at the high school. You know, I graduated in 1971. It just is an outstanding program.
And it's a great opportunity to buy your tree and not have to walk out into a snowy field, which I hate.
That's absolutely right. All right.
Somebody else could do that. That's better.
That's right. All right.
Let's go from greens to pizza.
Yeah, I actually had dinner last night at Swift Pizza. The chef was there and he said, oh, why'd you call it a pizza inn? And I said, I actually don't know why that ended up in that headline. So I guess this is a week of funny headlines. But the new Swift Pizza restaurant down in Kent is very good. It was very lively and very well attended when I was there last night. A very interesting menu, lots of stuff on it that's not pizza, but of course pizza is the specialty there. And it took a long time for that to open. And when you talk to the chef, Joel Veland, you realize that he is really a details guy. And he's applying that same sense of detail to the pizza and the cooking. And, of course, a beautiful portrait by Ann Day.
All right.
Thank you, Ann Day.
Now, did you get any pizza when you were down there taking the pictures? Nah.
No. It was closed that day, but I had some last night. It was very good.
All right. That should be one of the benefits of taking pictures.
I agree.
Yeah.
Okay.
You got most of
them.
All right. So now the parade in Winsted, Shaw covered that.
Yeah. It's called the Gator Parade, and Shaw explains why it's called the Gator Parade. It's actually named in honor of somebody, and we were able to get a photo of the Lakeville Hose Company's truck, which is nice. And I think this is one of the last parades of light in the area. It's gone so quickly this holiday season. I'm starting a petition to have Christmas in January.
I don't know.
Extend the pleasure out. I may not win on that one.
You could have some fight on their hands there. On page A4, I love all the pictures, but, especially I thought the Charlie Brown Christmas thing was so great the way it was put together and got funding for and put together.
Did you tape it by any chance? Because I missed it. I really wanted
to
go.
No, we can't tape things like that because they're copyright violations, and we end up getting cease and desist orders.
Of course. Yeah. Right. Yeah. So, however, they managed to get the rights to the Vince Guaraldi wonderful music from the Charlie Brown Christmas. They had a really adorable concert. I really wanted to go. I had to be someplace else that night. But what a neat idea from Dylan Vatican.
Now, we did tape the winter concert. Mike was there, and I told him any popular songs have to be taken out.
Yeah.
It's amazing how they pick them up on YouTube. And they threaten to sue you, even though they're holiday concerts.
Yeah. I guess if you're an artist, you would identify with that. And then a non-copyrighted song, one of the students at Kent Center School wrote what David Poirier called a beautiful pop ballad that the students sang.
All right. Look at the size of the story you have on A5, Cynthia.
You know, what's interesting, too, is that was the story. So those are just the car crashes from Saturday, December 19th, Snowstorm Benji. And I wouldn't say it was the most – I was actually out in it. Jan and I both ended up in Great Barrington that morning, which I guess we shouldn't have been doing. But it wasn't, to the eye, the heaviest snowstorm of all time. But there were more crashes that day. And then Tuesday was also a really inclement weather day. And I think we had two car incidents that day. But on that Saturday, December 9th, this is just the list of the car crashes. And then we had a little note from Bob Green. There's a very interesting website that shows exactly where the majority of car crashes are in Salisbury. There's like a little map, and you can sort of see there's, pinpoints on the map. And then Bob sort of has some commentary on, they're mostly one-car collisions. They happen at certain times of day. So the website link to that is in the article.
All right. Let's go on to page A6. Alexander Wilburn, the classic Lady About Town.
Poor Alexander is somebody who adults love to talk to because he's just a wonderful person. And, of course, everybody says to him, I don't know what to get for my son or daughter who's in their 20s. And so Alex went ahead and wrote three articles. This is the third of them, saying, for the woman in her 20s in your life, here are some wonderful gifts from area stores. It's a great, very sophisticated local shopping story.
Fur is in the picture.
Yeah, I'm sure it's a fake fur. Lance Christensen went to the Kent Historical Society's first house tour, and there's so many interesting houses around here, and I think seven of them were opened up, and all of them have interesting stories, and many of them have interesting contemporary stories as well as their historical story.
All right, on to Kent from a ladybug. Change is okay.
Yeah, Vince LaFontaine, who many people know as former selectman in the town of Kent, and his family, of course, did the famous LaFontaine's humus, the great growing medium for gardens and farms. So he wrote a story about ladybugs, which was a pertinent topic in our office this week because Anne has aphids in her house and wants to get some ladybugs, which we know from this article.
But I have ladybugs, too.
And they're not eating the aphids.
No.
Yeah.
I love this term in the next story that I'm going to talk about, transitional minister. It sounds important.
It is important. And this is Abby Gackenheimer, whose husband actually is the head of the Silver Lake Conference Center here in Sharon. And you can just see what a lovely opening, a lovely warm face she's got. And so she's the transitional minister at Kent's First Congregational Church. And I think that they're very lucky to have her as they search for a new minister.
Now, I love this. And it would be something that would debut in Cornwall at the Historical Society, where T-shirts come from.
Yeah, the history of T-shirts. And you can see Jamie Cantoni, who's the executive director, with a timeline of the history of T-shirts, which I think is great. And nice that they're not usually open in winter. This is a pop-up show, but I think it's open for a few more days. So, actually, it's open until March. And, of course, I kept confusing this with our story that we had last week, which was about the T-shirt farm in Millerton, which is, as Caitlin Lyle's article pointed out last week, a great place to buy a custom T-shirt. But if you want to find out why T-shirts are great, read this article by Lila Hawken.
You've got a picture there of the VFW in North Canaan. They put on a breakfast with Santa, which was a huge success. The pile of non-perishable foods and gifts they got that people donated was amazing.
That VFW is a very special place, and Kirk Harrington, who runs it, is a very special person and really gets people out in support of the programs that he does, of which there are many. And I was there earlier in the year. They were collecting food and warm clothing for vets, and literally, like you said, they filled the entire basement with donations, all of it, which will go to help people in need.
All right. You've got a story. We're freezing for no reason, but Shaw's story is freezing for a reason.
That's right. Every year in Winstead, they do a camp out. The Boy Scouts camp out overnight. It was a particularly cold night, just to remind them what it feels like if you're living, you know, sleeping rough out in the cold.
All right. Turn the pages here.
I just want to notice Janet's father-in-law, Bill Manko, has passed away.
Thanks to everybody for the support of our family. And we will have a funeral tomorrow at 11 a.m. at St. Mary Church and lunch at our house after for anyone who would like to remember him. So thanks to everybody.
All right. We'll go on to the opinion page now, your editorial, Searching for Balance Amid All the Chaos.
Right. This is an end-of-year thought and... you know, the passage of our tax bill doesn't make things any better as far as confusion goes. You know, we'll see how it works out. But a lot has happened this year, and we make some points about it, one of which is that our president doesn't make things seem any more in balance. He makes them seem more chaotic, but plenty of other thoughts, too. So, by all means, read it. Think about it over the next couple of weeks. We love to have letters.
You know, I didn't even think about this because I didn't pick up the paper until I saw it this morning in here. But writing in, I was listening to the president make comments about the UN resolutions that are going to be voted on, and for a president to say he's going to be taking names, and it just, I said to myself, the rhetoric is just so horrible to end the year that I just can't wait for the start of a new year. Hopefully things will change.
Well, that would be nice. I don't know that we can expect that, but, you know, we need to be prepared for all eventualities,
I guess. Here's real good news in a letter, though, that we received and talked about a little bit here at the station, and that is the emergency care set up at Sharon Hospital has returned back to be locally based, which means it's going to be far better service for people, especially when it comes to insurance coverage and financial aspects.
Apparently, the insurance is going to be much better, and I think that we all missed that sense of... So I'm going to just quickly say we're going to have a story on a lot of new changes at the hospital, and then I will shut up and let Janet talk.
Yeah. Sorry. No, that's okay. And this is... because Cynthia knows a lot about this, and the letter is from Peter Cordos, the president over at Sharon Hospital, and, you know, it means a lot for our entire region. We all need to use Sharon Hospital and their services, and their more expanded services now with HealthQuest, so he explains that. And there's a poignant story for many of us that Jenny Hansel is going to be leaving Northeast Community Center. And, you know, 17 years, and it's grown so much, you know, under her tutelage, and it's just amazing what she's done for that organization.
People don't realize that it was a one person, very small operation, which it's not insulting. It's just, it was in its infancy. And when you think of the Northeast Community Center and what they do now and the expanded programs and the people they serve from 5 years old to 95 years old, it really is an amazing growth story.
And it's year round. So many programs that benefit so many over the entire year.
And we'll have an article on an interview with Jenny in our January 4th issue.
All right. And there's other letters, liberal versus conservative, and good news for the house tour. That went well in Kent as well.
Yeah, great fundraiser for the Historical Society.
Onto the Viewpoint page, where you once again have a selection of different articles.
Right. We have, if anybody would like to have a feeling for the season, do read Mark Godburn's column. The headline says, "An Old Christmas Book in Dickens, England." So as you're watching your favorite version of Scrooge this year, take a look at this and see what those same people at that time were buying in the stores for one another, especially in the bookstores. And it's the most interesting thing to me is that they're so, it's such a look into the society of how important critical books were at that time. So do read that. And we have an interesting piece from Pam Vogel, who's the Region 1 superintendent, on the case for change, and Dick Ollis on Democrats shunning the governorship in Connecticut, and the second part of Rich Kesson's piece on microscopes in grade school. We just love having him around talking about this, and it's a fascinating topic.
Very quickly, food for health before we get on to Compass.
Chestnuts. That's all I'll say.
Love that photo.
I guess that's pretty quick.
Yeah. Long article.
Chestnuts. What about them? All right. Now we've got 2.5 minutes for Compass.
Yay.
Well, we have a cover story this week about bittersweet, which is the beautiful red berry that you see by the side of the road. Don't decorate with it because it is invasive and will take over your life and will take over your property. And it's written by a professor at University of Connecticut, so it's full of good facts. Then we have a theater review of the New Milford Theater play called Stage Kiss, and that will be running through December 29th, 30th, 31st, January 5th and 6th in New Milford. There's a very good story about a local singer with crescendo. It's a Housatonic High School student, Soren Klulo. I hope I pronounced that right. And Fred Baumgarten is very impressed with the way they sing, and it's a good story. I'm just going fast.
That's okay.
Oh, I see. I do have a few more minutes. Marsden, who I think is just the best, most wonderful food writer. Well, she's a good writer all around, but she always makes food and cooking and cookbooks just completely interesting and engaging. She's written a long piece about her favorite cookbooks and cookbooks that you can buy as gifts for your other friends who like food and cookbooks. And then we have a local couple has started a caviar company. Now, they don't get the caviar locally, but they live in Salisbury. It's Michael Klein and Alexandra Duquesne. And they sell in very fancy restaurants in New York. They sell in high-end grocery stores. And I think the only place that you can buy their caviar locally is at Guido's. I could be wrong. There could be a couple of other places, but they're also online. And the caviar is called Pointy Snout. And it's just the most beautiful logo. And apparently, according to this food writer, David Camp, who's also a local person, who's a well-known national, you know, American food writer, he says that it's just absolutely delicious. So that's something to check out.
Acquired taste.
Some people hate caviar. I love caviar when it's good.
As long as it's got a lot of onions on it, I love it.
Well, I have to say, I was in the Soviet Union back when it was the Soviet Union, and I was so excited because I was down near the Caspian Sea, and I thought, oh, good, I'll get caviar. This is amazing that I can have real caviar. But as it turned out, all the good caviar got exported. Aww. And the only caviar I got was the black, waxy stuff that's just really awful. Then there's a movie.
Yeah, you got a minute left. 1 minute left.
Oh, 1 minute. Yes. Okay, we've got a movie review by Alexander Wilburn, a movie that's opening tomorrow. So we're ahead of the game here. It's called Call Me By Your Name, and it stars Armie Hammer. Love his name. I think he's actually the grandson of Armand Hammer.
True.
And the other actor is called Timothée Chalamet, and it's about a love story between this graduate student and a young 17-year-old son of the professor that the graduate student has come to stay with at this beautiful place in Italy. You can read Alexander's review, but basically it sounds like a travelogue. Even if you're not that interested in the story, you'll love looking at the visuals.
Right.
Then we have a book review by Leon Graham. It's a book called Shine, which was written by Robert Kipnis, who's an artist, and this is his first novel. And he's 86 years old, so I think that's pretty cool that he's written his first novel. It's a murder mystery. And that's it.
All right.
Okay.
Well, we want you guys to go out and get warm in the outside.
And have it very merry. We worked as hard as we can, but we weren't able to raise the temperature in here.
But and I tried talking as much as I could because that really does help, but it didn't help today. So we'll see you guys in a couple of weeks. Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year.
Thank you.
Have a great holiday.
Thank you.
Take
care. That is This Week in the Lakeville Journal here on Robinhood Radio. You can find the Lakeville Journal online, tricornernews.com, on Facebook, and right here on Robinhood Radio.